Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The case of Chief Justice Moore is now on a fast track, hopefully towards justice. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, we filed a motion with the special court in Alabama regarding Chief Justice Moore's case. The oral argument was scheduled 3 months out, April 26, 2017. But that distant date placed a great financial hardship on the Chief Justice and his family. And frankly, there was no reason to delay because everything is fully briefed. So in consultation with the Chief Justice, we filed a motion to forego the oral argument. There's no reason to wait till April 26 and have the court convene and issue its final decision based on the written briefs. It's all fully briefed. It's a, frankly, in my view, easy case and open and shut case to decide. The Chief Justice should be exonerated. And the good news is that the special court approved the motion, granted the motion. The oral argument is now canceled, and they will convene early to ultimately render a final decision. We hope, obviously, that justice will be served in that final decision.
Well, it seems like a good sign to me that this case has been argued, the briefs have been filed. Chief Justice Moore has been effectively without income since September of 2016. This is just a travesty of justice, but politically motivated witch hunt. And it's a good sign, it seems to me at least, that they're willing to forgo the oral arguments to try to expedite justice in this case. And by justice, I mean, we need to see a full reversal here. And frankly, I wish there were some kind of sanctions that could be taken against some of these politically motivated judges involved in the JIC. And certainly will be nice if things go as I think they might, to see the appropriate level of egg on the Southern Poverty Law Center's face.
Well, you know, when you look at it from the law and the facts, it's a no-brainer. The Chief Justice did nothing wrong. This goes back to a January 2016 four-page administrative order, which was a status report, which in fact not only was a status report and accurate on what the status of the pending case was before the Alabama Supreme Court, that they were still reviewing the matter and that the previous orders of the Alabama Supreme Court were still in effect until the Alabama Supreme Court said differently. That actually was confirmed subsequently by the federal judge. Judge Grenade, later in 2016, Judge Grenade stated the same exact thing that the Chief Justice stated. And the one entity that has any authority over an administrative order of a Chief Justice is the Alabama Supreme Court, the other eight justices. Historically, they have exercised that authority sometimes to modify or overrule an administrative order of a Chief Justice. And they've done that through history. They didn't do that here. So you've got Chief Justice Moore issuing a four-page administrative order that says essentially this: the 2015 orders of the Alabama Supreme Court are still in effect. They're under review by the Alabama Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court will ultimately make a decision in the future. I don't know which way the Supreme Court will go. I can't say. But just be patient. They're reviewing it. That's it. And then what you ultimately have is the Alabama Supreme Court, the other eight justices, they don't protest it. They don't modify it. They don't overrule it. They're the only body that has the authority to do so. And then the Alabama Supreme Court makes a final decision in March of 2016. And sometime after that, the federal judge that ended up starting off this issue of the marriage issue ends up agreeing with the Chief Justice that, in fact, what he said was actually accurate. And you would think it's game over. No issue. But the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a complaint, and the Judicial Inquiry Commission charged the Chief Justice, and under the Alabama rules, the only state in the country that has this, you're automatically suspended.
And so then it's guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, it's guilty until proven innocent. Then you go to the hearing before the Court of the Judiciary, which occurred in September, and on September 30, they issue this ruling. And in the ruling, they say, we don't have 9 votes to remove him. case over, because that's all that the GAC wanted. Remove him. You have to have 9 votes. The Court of Judiciary Rule number 16 says you must have 9 votes to remove. That's what the GAC wanted to have as a penalty. The COJ says, we don't have 9 votes to remove. All right. Should be over. You can't remove him. He's back on the bench. But no, what they did and said, we're going to suspend him. But we're going to suspend him the longest in the history of Alabama for the rest of his life. So
right.
They used a different word instead of remove. They used the word suspend. But they can't do that. It's a de facto removal.
A de facto removal. They clearly had an ends in mind. They had an outcome with a result that the Southern Poverty Law Center wanted, that they, in collusion with the Southern Poverty Law Center, intended to achieve. And so they circumvented the law, violated the law, did not have the 9-0 unanimous vote for a removal. So they just violated the law and just made it up as they went along. They suspend him through the remainder of his term, effectively removing him completely. What's sad to me is to see judges on this Court of the Judiciary doing something so brazen, knowing that they're violating the law, getting around the law. These are supposed to be people, and the Southern Poverty Law Center are supposed to be a group of people that respect and attempt to undergird and defend the law, yet here they are violating the law intentionally for political purposes. That's an abuse of the judiciary. That's an abuse of the legal system. And frankly, shame on them. Shame on the Southern Poverty Law Center and shame on the COJ.
Well, we have, in my history of litigation, and I've been a litigator since 1987, so we're into the 30 years of litigation and arguments before courts of appeal, including the U.S. Supreme Court. I've never once waived an oral argument, never once. But in this case, there was no reason to wait for 3 months. For what? The case is briefed already.
Was there any pushback on the waiver?
No. Actually, the JIC agreed with our request. You have to consult the other side to let the court know, do they agree or disagree? And they didn't push back. And there was no pushback at the special court. So we filed the motion with an affidavit. We filed a reply and basically set forth the fact that 3 months down the road, it works a continual financial hardship because the Chief Justice since September 30 has been without pay, without benefits, cannot work. Everything is fully briefed. It's all in the briefs. It's a straightforward case. There's no reason to wait for 3 months to have the oral argument and then sometime after that to have the decision. Let's suspend the oral arguments, dispense with it, and instead of waiting, get together and make a decision. And so the court just a few days ago granted our motion, and they will be expediting and moving up the final resolution of this case. Now, we don't know what it'll be. However, I do know that if you're going to follow the law, it's a very straightforward result. The Chief Justice should be vindicated and should be returned back to the bench. Where
that's
the
what I was going to ask. What does justice look like in this situation?
Well, ultimately, justice at this point looks like a complete reversal of the Court of the Judiciary, which means that the Chief Justice would be reinstated back in his role as the Chief Justice, that the ruling would be overturned. And obviously, he would have to get back pay from September 30 to the time that the court issues its ruling. And he goes back on the bench until he ultimately has his term end, which is in 2019. That's at this phase, the only thing that can happen. People are not going to be punished at this phase. The legislature are looking at this. The legislators are looking at whether or not to rein in the Judicial Inquiry Commission and take away some of their authority. So that is still in the process, and all of this has come about because of the Chief Justice's case. Also, by the way, we have other judges who have filed amicus briefs in support of the Chief Justice. They may or may not agree with him personally, but they came together to agree with him on the substance of this case. And hopefully we will have a good resolution. Continue to pray for the case. It's before the special court, and we should have a ruling sometime in the near future. We'll certainly report about that as soon as we have it. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Remember to pray for Liberty Counsel and support Liberty Counsel financially, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. The website again, lc.org.